Welcome to Hope Is Here, bringing hope to those struggling with life's difficult situations.
Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn, and we are talking about how to handle fear, how we can have confident living in anxious times. And I'm sharing most of what I'm sharing today and what I shared yesterday from a little booklet by Charles Stanley that was given to by my dad back in the late 1990s. And Charles Stanley, just a hero of mine, a mentor from a distance, has taught me so much about the Word of God and how to teach and how to study God's Word. And I'm so, so thankful for him. And if you missed yesterday's program, really want to encourage you to go listen to that 14-minute program. You can listen to the podcast of all our programs. You can go to our website, hopeisheretoday.org. And find that program, simply click on podcast. Or if you listen to podcast, we're on all the major platforms, iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, Amazon has their own service now. Wherever you listen to podcasts, you can find us. And I hope you'll listen to that 14-minute program as we talked about yesterday about facing our fears. Today, we're going to look at the consequences of fear. In Worry-Free Living, Frank Murnith and Paul Meyer of the Murnith and Meyer Clinics tell us one of the most common words in the Greek language is the word phobos. In Scripture, fear is often interchanged with anxiety. Many students of the Greek language draw correlation between this term phobos and phobe, the word for the mane of a horse, suggesting the idea of hair raising. The field of medicine has long documented the physiological reaction of hair rising in response to fear, though the connection is not certain. Another concept involved in this word is to be startled and to run away, the idea of flight. So the essence of fear is a reaction to man's encounter with force, particularly a force more powerful than himself. Fear is always represented mentally by a show of strength much stronger than we are physically. When you worry about your son or daughter coming home from, say, from a date and they're late, fear kind of cranks into action. Our brain tries to differentiate between what is real and what is fiction, but because we allow fear to creep in, our emotions rarely respond correctly. The message we send our brains is one of alertness and danger. Our bodies respond physically with wet palms, a nervous stomach, a headache, paleness in skin color, and an overall posture of fear. 15 minutes later, when our son or daughter walks through the door, we pounce on him with the force of a stampeding herd. I know all the parents or grandparents have been there like that, just waiting on a loved one to get home, and it definitely can experience all of those things, such as wet palms and nervous stomach. But, you know, you may be thinking, well, he or she should have been on time, but consider this, maybe we should trust the Lord a little bit more as well. Ouch, Charles Stanley kind of steps on our toes sometimes, doesn't he? Charles Stanley says, there were times when my mother worried about our situation. The only way she can combat such feelings was to go on to the Lord in prayer. And a lot of Charles Stanley's life, he grew up as mom, as she was a single mom trying to provide for him, because Charles Stanley's dad died when he was only 2 years of age. But here's the deal, friends. The consequence of fear is costly. The following is a list of some of the consequences we are almost certain to face if we remain in our fear. Number one, fear stifles our capacity to think and act properly. Say that one more time. Fear stifles our capacity to think and act properly. Fear also causes indecision. The old saying is, we get paralysis by analysis. And I confess to you that I've been guilty of that, of just overanalyzing, looking at a situation, forwards, backwards, sideways. And don't get me wrong, friends, we need to make wise decisions. But I heard a leader say one time that once you've got all the information, you're never going to be 100% sure. But once you get to where you're 80% sure, you just got to go on and make the decision. Because if you wait till everything's 100% there, you've already missed that opportunity. And maybe that's where you're at today. You've kind of got that paralysis by analysis and fear is causing you to make indecision. And I want to encourage you and remind you today that God's grace covers when we make mistakes or when we don't hear from God. But if we've been seeking the Lord, we've been seeking wise counsel, and we've not rushed into a major decision, friends, we don't have to be afraid. And we can trust that God will make good out of a decision we make, even if it winds up maybe it was not the best decision. Just the main thing is you don't want to make a decision out of fear or without getting some wisdom. But we cannot just stay in the paralysis by analysis, or as the old saying goes, you'll never get downtown if you wait for all the stoplights to turn green, right? Fear also diminishes our capacity to achieve. People who are fearful often give up quickly. I've been guilty of that in my life, and I think I've done a much better job over the last decade of not saying, you know what, I'm going to try things, and you know what, if I don't make it or I mess up, that's okay. But I tell you, that's one of the things you want to do is not let fear dominate you and to give up too quickly. Fear also leads to panic. You know, we make not rational decisions. And that's what I was just talking about a little bit earlier. When we make decisions out of fear or panicking, a lot of times those are unwise and not good decisions, which then causes us to get in fear again because we start to think, well, maybe I'll make another bad decision. And that's why it's really important to take your time, but like I just said earlier, not wait forever for the perfect time because there's no such thing most of the time. Fear also causes torment. We can become so engrossed by fear that we are blind to the change that it's brought into our lives. A person who is fearful worries about even the smallest of details, questioning if he or she has done the right thing. Remember in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus said, I came to set the captives free. Because friends, here's what we know. Fear damages our relationship with others. If you've been deeply hurt by another person, you know the hesitancy involved in beginning another close relationship. But God doesn't want us living in fear, especially when it comes to relationships. We were created for fellowship first and foremost with God and then with other people. No one is able to go through life without facing some hurt and disappointment. We'll say that one more time. No one is able to go through life without facing some hurt and disappointment. Maybe you've been hurt today. You're listening. You're like, man, I'm scared to, you know, try to make friends again because I got burned by a really close friend last time. Or maybe you're single and, you know, been trying to date some and you've gotten hurt by the last person you were in a relationship with, or you went through a brutal divorce. And, you know, friends, especially if you've been through a divorce or just a relationship breakup, it's been several months, especially with a divorce, a marriage, you definitely need to take some time, friends. With a divorce, definitely at least a year. And yet, you know, I know people that sometimes they stay in fear forever with getting back into relationships of friendships, not just romantic relationships, but friendships, and the enemy just wins. And so, friends, I want to encourage you today to face your fear because God does not want us living in fear. And the fact of the matter is sometimes people let us down and they'll disappoint us. But just ask God for wisdom and for protection, and he will help you. Keeping our eyes on Jesus, placing our trust in him, and asking him to provide solid, beneficial relationships will help us open up to others. In some cases of very deep emotional hurt, there may be the need to forgive others and even ourselves. Don't let fear keep you from experiencing God's best relationally. Sometimes speaking with a pastor, a good Christian counselor, or a trusted friend may be the help you need in reclaiming your ability to trust and eventually love others. Fear also damages our relationship with God. I'll say that again. Fear also damages our relationship with God. The only fear that God wants us to have in our relationship with him is a reverent fear of who he is. We are to worship God and to fear him in his holiness. When we do this, we place ourselves in subjection to Jesus Christ. We acknowledge God as our Lord and our need of him in every area of our life. God doesn't want us to be afraid to come to him about even the smallest of details in our life. I love that, friends, that God cares about the details of our life. My good friend Sherry Matherly says quite often, you know, God's a God of details. And friends, he really, truly is. And maybe you need to just hit the pause button today and look around and see how maybe God's connected some dots and crossed some T's in your life. And he's a good, good father, friends, and he loves you. And maybe you've made some mistakes or some other people have made some unwise decisions that have hurt you. But, man, God doesn't want you to stay in fear, friends. You know, when we enter God's presence, he loves it. He wants you to come to him, and he wants you to just to enter his chamber of love and purity. And through Jesus, we have access to the Holy of Holies, where God abides eternally for those who love him. But you know, fear also interferes with our enjoyment of life. We cannot relax and look at life as pleasurable, because through the eyes of fear, there is only darkness and impending doom. However, there is a cure for fear. You can be free, though it may take some time and willingness on your part. Fear cannot hold you captive any long. And friends, sometimes you have to have some help to face your fears. And I've had to have that help in my life. And I want to encourage you to ask for it today if you know you've just been doing the paralysis by analysis for way, way too long. So we close today asking, is there a way out of this fear? Good news, friends. Charles Stanley says, yes, there is a hope for the fearful. Reading back through the scriptures reminds us that Jesus was very concerned for his disciples. They had been with Jesus for 3 years. All they had learned would be severely tested by his crucifixion. And he was right. Moments after Jesus' arrest, fear struck the disciples with a vengeance. The disciples went into hiding for fear of the same happening to them. Only John and Peter followed to see what would happen to Jesus. But later, Jesus was very just candid with Peter. He told this disciple that his faith was about to be tested and that he would end up denying him 3 times. And I want to remind you, the note that the opposite of faith is fear. Okay? That the opposite of faith is fear. Instead of arguing or rebuking Peter for what he knew would happen, Jesus offered a word that would one day be used to bring hope to Peter's heart. I pray for you, Peter, that your faith may not fail, and you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. But Peter missed the point in Luke chapter 22, verse 32. And in verse 33, it says in Luke chapter 22, Lord, with you, I'm ready to go both to prison and to death. Jesus took time to reassure his disciples that though he was about to leave them, he would return. In Peter's case, he went as far to give Peter a point of ministry when he had regained his faith footing and said, strengthen your brothers. Christian counselor Gary Collins says, you know, fears can come in responses to a variety of situations. Different people are afraid of failure, the future, achieving success, rejection, intimacy, conflict, meaninglessness in life, sometimes called external anxiety, sickness, death, loneliness, and a host of other real or imagined possibilities. Sometimes these feelings can build up in one's mind and create extreme anxiety, often in the absence of any real danger. And one of the first suggestions in diffusing fear and feelings of anxiety is a preventive one. Coping with the causes of anxiety when and before they arise can prevent the development of fear. So friends, today I want to encourage you to acknowledge that, yes, I know that fear sometimes exists, but because of Jesus, I don't have to be in fear. And just to repeat 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Over and over. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but gave us a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. I'm Greg Horn, and this is Hope Is Here.
Thank you for listening to Hope Is Here podcast. To listen to one of our previous programs or to make a tax-deductible donation, please go to our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today. Sometimes ordinary tasks can become extraordinary feats. That's why there's the Joint Chiropractic to keep you moving. What life does to your body, we undo. Chiropractic is more than a solution for your back pain. It's key to a healthy and active life. Find your relief from everyday life and beyond at the Joint Chiropractic in Tate's Creek Center. No appointments or insurance necessary. Open nights and weekends. Wellness starts here. For additional information, visit thejoint.com/15002.